is W2TTT. We'll start that net in about 1 minute. I just got to get into a real radio. W2TTT, K1JMR. Yes, who called W2TTT?
This is K1JMI. I want to warn you that you better be very careful. The trustee's back.
The trustee's back doesn't bother me. It's what comes out of his mouth. Oh, I'm sorry. Hi!
I don't know, good. This weather that you provided to me isn't very nice. It was much nicer out there.
Welcome back, Andy. It's good hearing you. Would you mind terribly if I started the tech net?
Sorry about that. 32TTT, K1JMI.
No, it's no problem. It's not a problem at all. It's just I was at a dinner, and there was a question as to whether I'd be able to get on the net on time, and by gosh, I have. Well, thank you, everybody, for being patient about my arrival. I'm going to start the net, and we'll get a conversation going post-haste and promptly. So before we start, are there any stations with emergency or print A traffic? Please call K2BARW2TTT. That is the appropriate response. Very good. Before we get going too far, this net is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. It's a conversation about amateur radio, electronics, communications, computers, telecommunications, things of natural phenomena related to the radio art, things related to operational capabilities and status, fun things to do, things you've always wanted to try, things you've tried and want to tell us about, things that have made you puzzled. You need not have a question or a comment for the net, but we do need you to check in so we know who's here, because you might find yourself to be a resource. And I constantly hear from people who, you know, say, oh, I was listening to the net the other night and I didn't want to check in. Well, check in, please, because we may need you to ask a question of you which you hadn't thought you'd be asked, because shucks, we might know something that you know about a topic that, you know, comes to mind, and you could be a real help. So with that, let's start tonight a little out of order. Are there any stations on the Echo Link? Please call W2TTTK2BAR.
K2 Zulu Charlie, no questions, no comments.
Good evening, Dave, and thank you for checking in that way. You know, stations should check in with their call sign and their name and indicate whether they have a question, a comment, both, or none of the above. So that's great. No problem. Dave, welcome aboard. I sense you're far away. Anyway, very good. Are there any other Echo Link stations? Please call K2BAR. All righty, very good. All right, let's move on. Stations whose call signs begin with the letter November. Why don't we start with you? This is K2BAR W2TTT. Okay, stations whose call signs begin with the letter Alpha. I know A2 and I had a question. I actually know what the question is, so I'm going to pose it for him at the appropriate time. Okay, stations whose call signs begin with the letter Whiskey.
W2JEK Don, one comment.
Good evening, Don. You got it. No problem. We'll get you. Any other stations with a Whiskey call sign?
WE2R, Charlie, no questions.
Good evening, Charlie. Very, very good. Any other Whiskey stations? Okay, the Kilo 2s, any station with Kilo 2 at the beginning of their call, please.
K2AMI,
no questions, no comments at this time. Morning, Tony. How are you? Okay. Any other Kilo 2s?
Okay. Any other Kilos?
KO2, okay. Bennett. Hi, Gordon. No questions, no comments at the moment.
Okie dokie. Very good, Bennett. Let's see. We'll go back to one November's one more time. Any November stations, please call K2BA or W2TTT.
Yes. Anyway, NS2K. I finally wandered back into the room running errands. Anyway, no questions at this point.
Good evening, Jim. Very fine. Any other Novembers? Alrighty, we'll start with our announcement, and we'll see if there's any further check-ins. And I know we have at least one question or topic, as it were, has to do with AAQNI's antenna configuration, which I can describe pretty well, actually. We had a pretty thorough conversation about it earlier. So, W2JEK, Mr. Don, K2BAR, W2TTT, over to you.
K2BAR and NNET W2JEK just want to announce that the next Baratest session will be on January the 20th. It's a Friday night, 7 o'clock at the Westwood Regional High School. Test fee will remain at $15. Please bring exact cash if you have, if you think of it. We really appreciate that. Leave the $50 and $100 bills somewhere else. Anybody studying for the extra exam, keep in mind that come July, there will be a new set of question pool, and new questions and tests will be on at that time. So if you're studying now, try to get done by the end of June. Back to net, W2JEK.
Okay, Don, very good. And that is, what's the date again for the January test session?
The 20th. The 20th is the Friday, third Friday.
That's at 7 p.m. at Westwood High School.
That is correct.
Okay, very good. Walk-ins are accepted, of course. Okay. Actually, I know somebody who might be ready for that test. One of Joel's guys from DePaul might be coming over for that. Very fine. Does anybody have any questions about upcoming exams, any past exams, et cetera?
I have a comment.
Sure, Jim. I was going to... You go ahead. Go for it.
Well, I just wanted to mention Rachel's upcoming extra course that she is running. I think the first evening is tomorrow, but hopefully she's around here somewhere. I might be able to give you more information.
Yeah, I know it's in Washington Township, in their communities, their borough hall, or police department, whatever that is. All those things, senior building. Anyway, yeah, I'll tell you what, if she comes in later, we're going to make a point of pointing that out. But yes, she's running an extra class for a number of weeks. I think it's at least 4 or 5. It might be 6 even. I'm trying to remember. But it's coming. So, in fact, I thought it was on the Barrow website, but I may be wrong. Very good. AJ4WD, are you perhaps on frequency? K2BAR, W2TTT. Alrighty. Nothing heard on that. Alright, well, another point is that the Barra test team farmed itself out and was kind enough to support Venture Crew 7373 and Boy Scout Troop 139's class last Friday, and with a test session that evening. And Jim, why don't you describe it?
Me describe it? You were doing so well. Anyway, there were two courses, one for tech and one for general. I did the general course, so I didn't hear a whole lot of the tech course. In any case, we had pretty good results. Don could correct me here, but I think we had 5 out of 6 pass, 5 out of 6 on the general. That's pretty darn good. And the other guy was ever so close, and I'm sure when he might not be quite so tired, he'll probably pass as well. Anyway, back to that. Dennis Duquet.
Yeah, the reason for that little precipitous toss of the of that to you, Jim, was that James was calling me to let me know that I don't have to pick him up in Wellington, and that I can proceed straight home from the dinner. So all is good. With that in mind, thank you for running the general session. I ran the tech session. We had 5 new generals, a couple of near misses on tech and general, actually. And we're making progress. And again, I want to thank Don and the team for coming by and doing the test session too. That was outstanding. So the next thing to consider is these one-day test sessions or review sessions and test that night. I'm getting requests to run another technician one or a general, because there seems to be yet another body of people who either didn't make the tech course or will get their general or get their tech before then and want to do it again. So I'm trying to set it up on a Friday where people could actually get off so that they can just simply have their test with Don and his merry band. But it's not very popular to take off other than in the 1 week we do it in December or early January around the holidays. So we do have to think about perhaps a weekend day course one day in the future and see if we can bother someone other than Don and his merry band for a test session, or a test team, I should say. But it's very good. We're getting people to upgrade. We're getting people on the air. In fact, the one scouter who came to the and just took the test and almost aced the technician and then didn't prepare for the general because he didn't think he'd need it. I spoke to the guy, the scoutmaster of the troop he's from, and was teasing him. I said, you got to talk to so-and-so, and he did such a good job, he should have prepared for the second test, too. He would have passed it with a little effort. And then, by the way, you have to say, Gordon and others have their extra. They need to go and he needs to go get his extra so that the boys of their Boy Scout troop, this is the one in Park Ridge, by the way, can have the full value of a ham radio program as part of their troop activities like we do. I mean, I want to say that if you inspire, if other scout leaders see what you're doing with amateur radio and how creatively it can be insinuated into making the program exciting, the traditional scouting program, then you'll not only get active amateurs, but you get active amateurs who like to do stuff, and that not just licensed amateurs, but really, really active amateurs. So I think that's another aspect of this too that we need to think about. So any questions or comments about licensing and exams and such like that? Okie dokie. Well, we'll then put the ribbons on that one. But again, I want to thank Don and Jim and a few others, N2EYK, and N2EYK's photos of his broadcast career were provided for some levity as well. And Jim, why was Marquis Post there? Never mind.
I do have some information on Rachel's class. Starts this Friday. I think there's a fee of $30. 10 sessions. And, at the, Township of Washington Senior Center, which I guess is the upstairs room at, is there a time here? Yeah, 7:30. 7:30, I believe it starts. 7:30 to 9:30.
Oh, 7:30 in the upper room. Is sure this is not the last supper?
It's a supper and, no call, but it's allowed.
I'm just teasing. Very good. Was there somebody on the Echolink who wanted to make a comment? Okay, very good. Alrighty. Are there any questions for Jim about Rachel's extra class course, which begins tomorrow night and proceeds for 10 lovely weeks? Go ahead, Don.
I can't believe the way she cut that arranged. The one, the last night of that course is going to be at our test session, one of our regular scheduled para test sessions. So I think that's the way that she's arranged that. I haven't sat down with the calendar, but I believe that's what she told me. One other commentary, though. Anybody that comes with a calculator has to be a calculator. It cannot be a cell phone or an iPod or one of these other new electronic marvels. That has to be a calculator, and you have to make sure that there are no formulas or any goody information stashed away in the memory. It has to be dumped out. It's just got to be a standalone calculator. And very specifically, the ARRL does not want any cell phones or iPods or any of that stuff. Just a word to all those who are running courses to keep the applicants aware. And it's on the ARRL's website. You click on exams, and then you click on the thing that says what to bring to an exam session, and it gives you all the things, what you need in the way of IDs, pens, pencils, and all about the calculator business. And that, back to that, W2KK.
Another comment.
Go ahead, Jim.
Okay, also, on the 8th, this Sunday, there is a ham radio university in Briarcliff College. I believe the first event starts at 9 o'clock. This is the same place that, was it, Nylock, or whatever, who was it, holds their Hamfest, except it's in the building, not behind the building, at the old, what is it, the old Grumman building, I guess it is. But Briarcliff College, 1055 Stewart Avenue in Bethpage, New York. I plan to go out there with a couple of the guys, but should be interesting.
Well, that sounds like fun. Well, you know, any of these amateur radio university type things, or the University of Amateur Radio, in some places they call it, and are patterned after the University of Scouting kind of thing, where you have an opportunity to go and learn about some enhanced activities in amateur radio. And I would strongly suggest people take advantage of that. I'm trying to think. I think Jeremy has a hockey game this weekend, so I really can't do this, but I can tell you that if I didn't have that obligation, I'd be making off for that, because I'm sure there are topics that would stretch my brain a bit, and that would be good. That'd be very, very good. So, alas, I will spend another hour or two pulling black garbage bag out of my ham shack, or loading the black garbage bag and loading it and pulling it down. That seems to be my evening fun. As I kind of neaten and organize my ham shack, which is probably not a bad thing. You can actually stand four or five people in my ham shack again, as of yesterday, which I thought was really cool. All righty. Any other questions about all this licensing business and the University of Scouting this Sunday? I'd be very curious as to who goes and what sessions they plan to attend. My guess is if you probably Googled University of Scouting or Scouting University and New York or this Sunday's date, my guess is you'd probably find it. You certainly find it on the AWRL special events calendar. So something else to think about as well. So, very good. Thanks, Jim, for referencing that. Let's see. All right. Before we proceed to the topic that I want to raise, I wanted to see if there were any further check-ins to that. This is K2BAR, W2TTC.
K2BAR, this is KC2SQP, Stewart. Just listening, no questions, no comments. Back to Ned.
Hey, Stuart, good to hear you. KC2SQP, you're checked in. Anybody else?
KC2ORX Mobile, headed home, Gordon.
Okay, very good, Robert. I do actually have an announcement before my topic. All right, anybody else?
Net Control, this is N2QOJ via Echo Link, Joe. No comments at this time, thank you.
Somebody else who doubled on their local station.
Who? Pulling with the echo, they can't. Okay. Yeah, the magic words for Google are Ham Radio University and 2012. And you won't get more than halfway through before it'll pop up in the auto search thingy. Ham Radio University.
Thank you, Jim. Ham Radio University 2012. You two can discover ham radio in the year of the Mayan. All right. Enough of that. All right. Any other check-ins for the night?
At Control, this is N2QOJ via Echo Link. I don't think I made it in the last time. No comments at this time or questions. Thank you.
Where are you checking in from, Dave? Or not. Okay. All right, very good. All right, so our topic tonight is interactions among or between antennas. And here's what our good friend AA2NI had been doing. After some severe weather events had trashed his antennas, his HF wire antennas, he said, well, I got to put up something. So he put up a junior version of the G5RV, you know, the 40-meter and up-frequency version. And so he put that up, and it worked great, and it was just tuning just marvelously. And then he said, you know, I really want an 80-meter one. And so with a little more time, a little more planning, he put up an 80-meter full-size G5RV at a higher elevation, perpendicular, absolutely perpendicular to the first one, but, you know, a goodly distance higher, maybe 20 or more feet higher than the first one. However, the two sets of ladder line, two pieces of ladder line were only about 10 feet apart, and so he noticed that while there was no problem on the junior G5RV, that the other G5RV was very, very narrow in its bandwidth as you tuned it with a tuner. In other words, any kind of frequency excursion, even on higher frequencies, mattered a lot, meaning, you know, 12, 18, things like that, mattered a whole lot, even 20 meters. So he was asking me, do you think that the fact that they're so close together, there's an interaction? And so I made a suggestion to him. I said, well, I asked him, is it convenient for him to drop the junior? And he said, yeah, I can drop one leg of it, and it'll fall flat to the ground anywhere near the proximity of the G5RB. So he's going to do that and see if there's interaction between the two. In all honesty, I'd be very curious if he put a light bulb on the end of one coax or one set of twin lead, how much energy is coupled between the two. So I had to remind him that in a G5RV for certain bands, the ladder line is part of the radiating element, not just the feed system, the matching system. So he had forgotten that little detail. So I'm wondering if anyone's had any prior experience with this or similar situations, but I'm thinking that his narrowness of bandwidth is because he's essentially got a junior acting as some sort of suck-out filter that has to be dealt with a tuner just to keep the energy going into the right antenna. Anybody have any thoughts on this? Anybody have any interaction among wire antennas or other kinds of antenna stories that they want to discuss or mention? I'll give you one. I have 2 6-meter beams on different rotators, and they're only about vertically offset by about 10 or 15 feet. And I can absolutely assure you that there is an interaction between those two antennas. I put them on different radios and such. I really do have to plan carefully when I point certain things certain ways, even at 100 watts. It's not so much that I'll damage the other radio. That's not been the problem at 100 watts. It probably would be at a half a kilowatt or more. But it does give a terrible strain on your receiver from the standpoint of just fundamental overload and just, your AGC gets knocked. Essentially, you give your receiver a concussion until it has time to recover. So, that's been my experience. But again, by simply removing the one antenna, the shorter antenna, the junior G5RV, from the picture, he can ascertain, A, whether or not the other antenna is tuning up better, and B, whether or not its presence was, causing a difference in its tuning characteristics in general. Let's see. Any other comments? All right, Don first, and then we'll go to the Echo Link. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, well, if he's got the two feed lines coming into the shack, if he's using a tuner on each, or he's using one tuner and swapping it between the two, I don't know which scenario he's got. But somewhere along the line, if he's using the full-size G5RV, put some kind of a power meter or some kind of a device across the feed line to the junior to see what's coming in over there. Possibly short the feed line and see if that affects the bandwidth on the big antenna. You could try something like that. Wouldn't be too hard to do, and I'd give them some idea what's happening with it back in that.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds like a good plan. I believe they're coax fed, but then they hit a ballon, and then they hit the feed line, the ladder line or the window line, as the case may be. And it's those two pieces of ladder line that are in parallel, 10 feet apart, in vertical axis. So I gotta believe that they're dancing a death dance. Pardon me, with each other. Alrighty. Anybody else? Did I hear something on Echolink before? Alrighty. Alright, so the next thing that I suggested to him, I said, well, if you're worried about an effective antenna, you know, Jim's been really very proud of his off-center fed dipole. And the only problem is that Nico doesn't have quite a linear space for an off-center fed dipole. And once he gets permission from a neighbor to use one of the neighbor's trees, he expects to try one of those. And I think that would be a worthwhile effort. All right. Has anyone else had any other antenna adventures this not-so-snowy January and December? So, one of the things that came to mind the other day is to get a wire, the end of a wire on my lot, very, very high up. And in order to do that, it would have to be underneath my omni-vertical for 2 meters, but above, well above, my 6-meter antenna. And so the question came is, how do you attach to the mast? Well, number one, you pull the rotator out and drop the mast, which is something I'm going to have to do when the weather's nice anyway. But what came to mind was, we could take on a 2-inch mast, we could take a thrust bearing, bolt it to the, put it upside down, basically, as long as it's a TB3, or TB2, I should say, a TB2 thrust bearing, like a Rhone thrust bearing, the aluminum one. Put it upside down, put an arm on, you know, bolt an arm to it, and then tether that arm out in a particular direction, and let the mast rotate underneath it, essentially, or inside it, and use it to pull up a pulley, you know, using a pulley there, have it, use it to hold the end of your dipole or your feed system of your dipole, whatever you want to do. But you essentially use a stay line so that the arm that's bolted to the thrust bearing that's on the mast, that's free running, is actually always stays oriented in a particular direction. So the other antennas rotate underneath it, and as long as you have any drooping wires out beyond the radius or reach of your Yagi or your Yagi array, then you're absolutely fine. And so that's pretty much what we're going to try to do. I'm wondering if anyone else has done that, where you have a swiveling antenna feed or endpoint for a wire antenna on a otherwise rotatable mast. Alrighty. Well, that's what we're going to try to do. And the advantage of this is, to put it politely, is I've got 45-foot tower and 22.5 feet of masting above that. So a piece of my wire could be 66 feet in the air. So I was thinking about that. I said, isn't that lovely? So if I had an OCF dipole like Jim's, I could put the short end and the feed, you know, very high up in the air, and it would not get entangled with the, you know, with the Yagi underneath. And my guess is it would give me a kick-ass signal, to say the least. Might even have a few options as to which way to have multiple OCF slopers. And that's kind of what I'm thinking about, is multiple OCF slopers, if that makes sense. Has anyone here dealt with an OCF as a sloper and noticed any appreciable directionality from that? Okie dokie, well, we're going to try it then. Very good. And let's see. I'm happy to report that those of you who know N2DDC and yours truly, we were selected to take the New Jersey State Office of Information Technology Communications Technician course. It's a 1-week course. Later in the month, there are only 14 or 15 people in the state taking it, and we're going.
and taking that week-long course, it'll be very, very fine. But it really helps to be a ham. Everything you've ever learned on your license exam and a few other things besides are all listed out. It's pretty amazing. So anyway, they have a notion for emergency preparedness and the emergency response community of having a task book. And what it is, it's in training or in real exercises, training, you know, drills, real activities, you have to complete certain tasks and, you know, be evaluated by a competent evaluator. That's what we're going to have to do going forward. I think that's pretty cool. So looking forward to that course. And I think there's a lot to be learned from the materials. If anyone's interested in seeing the materials, I'll be happy to forward them to them. A few hundred pages of reading material, but much of which is familiar to you, and some of it which will be new. So if anyone's interested in that from emergency response, or maybe is thinking about taking the course in the future, that might be something to consider. This is K2BAR WCUTTT. Any questions? Alrighty. If there are no questions, any last check-ins or announcements?
To the AMI.
Tony, go right ahead.
It's a reminder that this coming Sunday night is the January meeting of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association. And of course, it will be held in Washington Township at the municipal building in Washington Township. There's a Barra bulletin in the mail for those members who are currently paid-up members of Barra. You probably look at check in your mailbox. There's a Barra bulletin with lots of information. And on the front page it says, bring your dues money. So that's one of the things. The other thing is, I think we're going to have an interesting presentation by somebody who's local to this Met. And you might want to describe his presentation on Saturday. Back to Net.
Well, the first thing I'll point out is the meeting is Sunday, and therefore, since I'm presenting at the meeting, I'll decide, if you don't mind, I'll make the presentation on Sunday instead of Saturday, grin. Yeah, we're going to talk about some of the various and interesting options available in the in what I'll call the software-defined radio business. And I'm not going to dwell a lot on Power SDR and stuff like that, although we'll certainly point that out. But some of the other options that are out there that are fascinating and interesting, and some are, shall we say, provide, you know, a little less daunting an experience, and others provide a more daunting experience. But depending on what software and what hardware you run. But it's very cool. And then how to use your software-defined radio as an instrument. Many of us have used our rigs, especially the Transmit Everywhere rigs, as a signal generator, flat out. We've done that a lot. So this is another opportunity to think about how you would use your radio as an instrument in your ham shack, in your everyday old ham shack, to check things like your frequency, your deviation, your modulation in general, if it's not FM, comparative receiver sensitivity, all sorts of things. So it's very, very cool. So we'll talk about that a little bit. And I'm going to have to find a way to get there early, because I'm going to have to definitely figure a way to put some sort of wire out the window. But with that in mind, we'll see you on Sunday. And not only that, but we're also going to have some what I'll do is I'll have some URLs that people can go to kind of gather information and pull it down after the meeting, if you want to have something in your hand to go chew on later. Alrighty. Anybody else? Alrighty. Well, the meeting, just as a reminder, is on Sunday night. It is at 7:30 at the Washington Township Municipal Building in their senior room, the aforementioned upper room. We don't have a lot of supper, but there is cake and coffee and stuff like that after the initial business break and before the program. And last but not least, a lot of jabber-jawing and some fun before the meeting. It is, as I say, we gather around 7 o'clock and meeting's at 7:30, so do come. Have a good time. Any questions or comments?
Any last
check-ins, anything at the last possible moment before I bail? Well, it's just been kind of a quiet net, a little unusual for our normal net. So hopefully people will come with a bit more to say next week. Kind of 2 weeks running. I think people are kind of partied out or something. I don't know what's going on, but it's struggling to get people going on a topic. I do want to remind people that in August we will be doing the Rumsville Rally again. I received the initial contact. Steve Greenberg this time. He's the Bicycle Touring Club of New Jersey fellow who with the straight bi-combed silver hair. And he will be the rally chairman this year. And I've confirmed to him that we will be doing logistics and communications. And he's also looking for help on SAGs and obviously mileposts, things like that. But he's looking for SAG help too. And a lot of guys had fun doing that last summer. Probably have a warm-up exercise in May or June like we did this year, the Bergen County bike ride that Sunday morning. We'll probably do that again in the spring as well. So look forward to that. We're going to have some nice weather this coming weekend, but I would strongly advise people to use that time wisely, get your antennas in order, check your generator, make sure you have fuel for it, charge your batteries, as Bob likes to say. Make sure you know where your go kit is, and make sure you also, in a go kit, also have a sustenance package, something that keeps you hydrated and fed and comfortable for a day or 3 days, you and your family as well. You know, we've been pretty racked this fall by everything, including ice storms, so let's think about that as we get to the winter. We've got a lull here, but let's not lull ourselves to stupidity. You know, the interesting weather is yet to come, and, be prepared, as they say. One last thing. I was at an Eagle recognition dinner tonight, and our buddy Peter Davidson and, and Joe McCarroll, Salento, were both recognized. They're both hams. And Carl Schubert, Robbie Schubert's brother. He's not yet a ham, but his brother Robbie is. We're there at the dinner. Robbie couldn't attend. He's KC2SQQ. But they're all starting to become productive people. They're in college. They're actually interested in upgrading their licenses now. So we might see a second wave of interest from them, and maybe we finally will get them on the air for field day. It's the first time in a couple of years. All right. Any last questions or comments? Well, thank everybody for their fine interest tonight in the net. Look forward to working you again soon, and certainly seeing you Sunday if you're going to be around for the Barra meeting. I'd like to thank the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club, K2ETN Repeat, and our buddy Andy's back from California. And so it's nice to hear him as well. I heard K1JMI, I guess, with him earlier this evening. And so it's good to to have our trustee back, and also to have this net every week. So, thanks again. This is K2BAR W2TTT, returning the repeater to normal amateur radio use.
Connected CX6CAH, connected KB2PVCN2QOJ, disconnected. K2ZC, disconnected.
N3CRT.
It ended a little early tonight, Charlie. How are you?
Oh, we're doing pretty good here. Yeah, we were out, and we just came back, and we're still at the stage of where we have to get the coax and put the antenna outside. How does this sound, Gordon?
Well, it sounds like there's a slight hiss on your signal, but you're probably like 90% quieting. Real good.
Yeah, I have the antenna leaning up against the fence, a wooden fence out back, and we're just setting stuff up.
All right, no problem. Well, that's great. So, good to hear that you're getting antennas all squared away. That's a very, very good thing. Very, very good thing. So, when the little bambino boy goes to beddy by, in the out weeks, hopefully you'll be able to check in and maybe pose a question or raise a topic or something during that. We would love to have you. I can't tell you the number of amateur radio activities I did with a kid in my arms, trying to just keep him asleep and just kind of comforting him and feeding him. I've been on nets while changing diapers too.
Well, I'm actually out at Richard's house, KD2BEN, and we're getting I'm helping him get up to speed with all this stuff. I got a night off. Katie took Carl out to Pennsylvania. I got a reprieve for today, but he's 1 month old today.
Oh boy! Oh boy! Oh boy! So basically, Katie took Carl out to. Out to the rallies for the weekend, is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, she goes out to her parents just for the night. She'll come back probably tomorrow night. She makes it her Thursday thing.
So is she going to go back and teach in a couple of months?
She's worked it out so she doesn't have to go back until the beginning of the next school year, so in September.
Nice. Good for her. Good for her. That's much better. Good, 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 good. Well, that is most excellent. Most excellent. So, just a couple of small pointers here, Dad. You're never babysitting when it's your own kid, okay?
Yeah, I know that part. I'm pretty good with it so far. I haven't been left with them for too long a period of time. Katie went out running for a couple hours, but I know how to handle myself.
Oh, well, we understand that. I mean, number one, you're an Eagle Scout. Number two, you know, there's no technical job you can't accomplish, and if the technical job involves diapers, well, how is that any different than changing an oil filter? Let's ask yourself that, really.
Yeah, it's usually the closing up of the job that gets me. I can get most of the way through the diaper change, and then he starts kicking me.
Okay, so. Let me give you some hints here. You attack the job before you get your son involved in it. You have the requisite number of wipes already peeled out. You have the requisite replacement diaper already fanned out, open, and ready to go. You basically yank down his pants, crank open the belt tabs, pull down the thing, find out what's there, immediately hit it with a wipe on access, you know, holding the legs like a chicken, essentially, as you go. You hold and just amuse him. You chat with him while all this is going on, saying stupid, silly things that are just totally undignified. But, you know, all that goo-goo-gaga stuff. And slide the new one in place and slap the front part down as you grab the tabs, all before he even has a chance to even know what hit him.
Yeah, see, I'm you know me, I'm too careful. And I thought I was going to break him, but you have been speeding up the process.
Ah, yes. Yeah. See, how many pounds was Carl at birth?
7 pounds, 7 ounces.
Okay, we call that, in our family, a human baby. James was 11.3 and John was 9.13. Our 9.5 week preemie was still 4 or 5.
KB2PDC disconnected.
Oh, I guess that means our diaper changing stories weren't very interesting.
No. It just, you were talking about him being fragile. And human babies are, but mine were so big you had to hold them with two hands. I mean, you didn't even put them on one arm easily. You had to like have one arm and sometimes most of another hand in order to carry the baby. You just couldn't put cradle him in your arm and against your body and go, because you need that extra hand because he was just so darn big. James and John were enormous. I mean, enormous. So this is exciting, though. This is exciting. I will tell you right now, with James at 25 and John at 23 and Jeremy at 15, don't kid yourself. I miss that.
Yeah, I know it'll come and go pretty quick. What did you guys talk about on the TechNet tonight? Anything interesting?
We talked about some licensing courses and the question pools and technician. Probably the extra class that Rachel's going to do starting tomorrow night for 10 weeks. And I brought up a couple of subjects, including G5RV interactions when you have two of them in a yard. And brought up some other subjects as well. I could not get people to talk about anything tonight. It was awful.
Okay, I've got some ideas maybe for next week. Maybe if I get a chance, I'll check in and we'll bring up the stuff that we're talking about, Richard and I here. We're trying to figure out what will fit in his house since he's got restrictions here. He lives in a condo, so we figure out what will work with small antennas.
Light up an aluminum rain gutter.
You know, I haven't really been outside during the day or with any reasonable amount of light to see what he's got for a gutter.
Yeah, well, you'd be amazed what you can do with a cordless drill, a couple of star washers, and some bolts and nuts, and you can start lighting up all sorts of incidental copper or aluminum around the building and put it to work for him.
Yeah, we also have access to the attic. He ordered one of those buddy pole systems. we're going to try that out and see how that works, you know, as something that you can move out on the porch, and we're gonna work on a way to get the coaxes outside. I think that's the next step.
An excellent idea. Okay. Well, look, I'm at the store. I would like to get in the store and get out of the store, and then, more importantly, get home. But it'll be a quick trip in here, maybe 5-10 minutes at the most. But these sound like great starting subjects for next week. I would encourage you to come and encourage him, pardon me, to come as well. It's been a long day. I haven't had any of the yawnies all day until the last little bit. That's good. Woke up about 5 this morning, or 4:30 when we got James up initially, and it all kind of went well from there. It really did. Alright, Godspeed and take care. Good hearing you, and again, congratulations to you and Katie, Charlie. That's awesome. We have another little Obamaite. Anyway, just kidding. 3CRTW2TTT.
Alright, you take care, and we'll talk soon. N3CRT.
CX6CAH disconnected.
Today? Can we maybe shoot for today? flight today should be doable. I don't have to worry about dinner. My wife's going out for dinner.